Right, I'm sorry, but you've got the B team today, and so things are altered around, and Doug didn't give me the keys to his vault, so we're missing a bit there, so we have to start without that. I'm sorry. Next time I'll try and see if I can persuade him. Right, now Doug last week gave us some background to what became the Reformation in Europe, leading to a major challenge to the power of the Catholic Church. The Church had become a major political power and controlled a large part of Europe. Questionable theology and practices by the Church were being used to tax the population and to control them. Reformers such as Martin Luther began to publicly challenge the Church's practice as not being aligned to God's word and truth. Some actually paid for this questioning with their life, yet the Reformation had begun, and which led to five solas being formulated, and Doug outlined those to us last week. The first one being Sola Scriptura, which is in the Word alone, and it holds that Scripture is the ultimate being authority and ultimate authority in faith and doctrine. The second one is Sola Fide, by faith alone. The third, Sola Gratia, by grace alone. Fourth, Solus Christus, in Christ alone or through Christ alone. And Sola Deo Gloria, glory to God alone. And that formed the basis for the reforming of thinking about God in Western Europe and the whole Church at that time. We had the memory verse that Karen brought to us last week, and from 2 Timothy 3:6. And it testifies to this, and it's saying, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting and training in righteousness. We use the Bible to point us to God. It's teaching as a basis for living with each other and to inspire faith. We understand that the Bible contains God's truth. This led me to think about, how is this truth affecting the way I live each day? In conjunction with this thought, I'd also been challenged by a presentation by a chap called Dave Mann of the Hope Project team at the 2017 Engage conference. It is titled The Call to Influence Culture. You can access it on YouTube, like you can get all good things on YouTube, but you can get a lot of bad things there too, but this is something worthwhile. So if you're interested, you can look it up. I want to share some of my thoughts about this with you today by looking at what is truth first. When we talk about something being true or a truth, we think in terms of a fact, a principle, maybe a formula that always stays the same. It's right, it's true. Jesus said in response to Thomas's question from our reading today in John 14:6, he said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the truth. By saying this, he is saying that he is the one who fulfills all the prophecies about the Messiah in the Old Testament. But he's more importantly saying something, that truth is not a long list of rules, regulations, or principles, or facts, but his word is truth. His word is truth. In Genesis, we learn that God spoke our whole universe into being by his word. It is in that word We have the order of everything. We have truth. Because this universe exists now. God keeps it in existence by his word, his truth. He spoke it into existence. So his word is truth. What he says happens. It becomes a fact. And that is something incredible when we take the full meaning of that into our lives. That what God says is right. It happens. And it will be that way. And that's why we can rely on his truth. We can rely on him. He is the truth. What are some of the things that Jesus said and has spoken? He said, I am the way, the only way to the Father. There's a truth. We have a choice whether to accept this or not, but the only way we can be connected to the Father is through Jesus the Son. He also said that, Paul did in Romans, that for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Christ restores that relationship. Jesus, in this passage that we read, reassures Thomas and the other disciples that he will come back and take them to be with him. Through his death, he makes it possible for us to have a place in God's kingdom. And by his resurrection, he made it possible for us to be in his kingdom. We don't have to find our own way there. Christ rose, and he takes us to be with him where he is. And that's a promise. That is the truth. He died. He prepared a place for us. He rose again and takes us to be with him. He conquered the power of sin, death, and we too will be resurrected. Jesus is the life. God breathed life into us at creation, in Genesis 2:7. But he gives us eternal life if we choose to believe in Jesus. It's repeated in John 3:16, isn't it, which many of us will know. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. There is the word believe in there, which is crucial to receiving the eternal life. In Hebrews 11, there's a whole chapter devoted to describing faith and people of faith. This expands our understanding of what it is to believe. In verse 1, it says, now faith is being sure of what we have hoped for, and certain of what we do not see. In verse 3, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. It was made out of something that wasn't visible. And in verse 6, it says, and without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Now I realise that most of you, all of you, understand this truth, and that it motivates us to want to share that God is a living and loving God with those who don't know him. Because we realise God's word is truth, don't we? When you understand these truths, you want people to understand there is hope for the world. Hope for the poor. That overpopulation won't force us into an inhospitable outer space. That God actually has a plan to redeem his world. This is where the Hope Project is aiming to make a difference and to help us as individuals and small churches to engage with those around us. Dave Mann, in his presentation, puts forward the thought that Christianity is rapidly losing its national profile. The church still has a community profile. We're involved in lots of things, Meals on Wheels, we're social agencies, and lots of celebrations at a community level. There's light festivals, there's Christmas things and Easter things, but those are all probably quiet. Some of them are being sort of pushed to one side, and God has been pushed to one side in our culture. But the Chapman reckons that this probably only reaches about 10% of the population of New Zealand. Then we have, on a one-to-one engagement level, we may only have 10% of the population actively engaged with the claims of Christ, or they know a Christian and somebody actually sharing with them about who God is. This leaves approximately 80% of the population with no contact with the good news of Christ. Now, this is not a new situation, is it? And not a new situation for the church. The reformers, like Martin Luther, faced a similar situation. People didn't know the truth. They knew about God, they knew about the church, but they didn't know the truth. The truth had been buried and lost. And they began to speak out the truth again. Even though they were a minority, the truth came through and changed the whole culture eventually. In 2014, the Hope Project launched a booklet detailing how Christianity had greatly and positively influenced the forming of the Treaty of Waitangi and early Maori and European relationships. They sought to engage with the 80% again in our population with a positive view of Christianity, retelling the history of Christianity in our land. This was to give us as individuals opportunities to discuss this with our neighbours. At the present time, they're seeking to raise further funds to continue this literature and media work at a national level, to help keep a positive national profile for Christianity, particularly at Easter and Christmas time. By doing this, they hope to make it easier for the individual to have conversations about God and His truth with their neighbours. Christ told us not to hide our light under a bush, didn't He? But to let it shine out. And this means being active in our communities, which I would say most of us are. We're active with on BOTs, councils, committees, and in our community. But we need to be open about what drives our motives within these committees and organisations as well. We need to let people see it as our faith which drives the way we live, our faith in God, and that there is a living and loving God, and we need to honour Him in those situations and be like the reformers, like Martin Luther, and speak up when we see truth being denied. And that's not an easy thing to do. He said, Dave Manner's presentation to the conference states that the Christian Church in New Zealand is quite good at community engagement, but not so involved at the individual level or the national level. So often we can become discouraged by the status quo, which we perceive as being antagonistic. But from the history, we can see how reformers such as Martin Luther, convinced by God's truth, became agents for change. Mann uses the example, interestingly, of the LGBT community in New Zealand and Australia, and how they have brought about major change in cultural thinking and cultural truth in our countries, even though they are a minority, possibly less than 10% of the population. They're vocal, they've branded their cause with positive names such as Gay and Heroes, the Hero Parade in Auckland. They engage with the media and keep a high profile. And so it has changed community thinking because of exposure over time. Hence, the HOPE Project team seeks to lift Christianity's profile nationally by focusing on the hope Christ brings to people's lives, positive, rather than the Christian community always being reactionary and usually portrayed negatively when issues of morality and religion are brought up or being discussed on the national scene. Encouraging churches to be involved in positive activities in the community, and such as alternative events to Halloween, like the Light Party. They have one in Gore, don't they, that Kelvin have. So for us to be thinking about being involved in positive things with our communities. Jesus said in Matthew 28 verse 18, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations." Go and make them and baptize them in the name of the Lord, of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey all that I've taught you. And surely I am with you always to the end of the age. We have Christ's truth, Christ's word. I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. And I am going to be with you until the end of the age. And that's, he's going to be with us in evangelizing our world. We need to continue to place our full trust or faith in God's truth, and be prepared to share with others why we believe in God when the opportunity arises, just as the reformers did. And we will see our society changed, as they did, and God's kingdom established in our communities. Let our faith in God's truth, or his words, cause us to continue to take and seek out the opportunities to share his good news with others. That may be through our businesses. It isn't just within a church setting necessarily, or sharing tracts with people, or accosting people on the side of the street. In our everyday lives, we need to be showing forth God's truth, because we need to assure people what God has said is real, it is truth. And we need to share that with them. And there are many in our congregation who do this, and we need to be encouraged to keep on doing it. Let us pray. Father, thank you for your truth, that what you have spoken speaks deeply into our hearts, that it gives power, that it can be relied upon. Help us to allow your truth to form and guide our lives each day. Amen. We'll sing our last song of worship, The Stand, and we'll receive your offerings for the Lord's work during that too. So let us stand and sing.
Creation, turning in your hand.
We come before you and we offer our hearts, our lives completely to you. We offer these offerings, the fruits of our work, to you too today. We ask for your blessing on our lives and on these gifts, that you would use them for your glory and for the extension of your kingdom. And Father, we ask that you would go with us now, that your grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.